The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Oh my God.
Hey. We're recording. We don't need to edit anything.
Why can't we have nice things anyway? You know, Canadian soccer. It was getting positive, seeing these players getting back to health. I mean, as positive as it can be, right? Considering that, you know, 3/4 of the squad have not played football for 7 years. But they're training, and we're excited. And one game left for this young, diminutive starlet who can change the course of a game. Off the bench or from a starting position, someone that we've never seen before for Canada, Marcelo Flores, him with the dreads and the dyed red hair. Oh, man, this is the new generation coming through, people. This World Cup is going to be pretty exciting. No, because the football gods want to shit all over all the good things that Canada has. What a gut punch. Open Footy Prime this fine Monday morning, a match day morning, I should mention, given that we're playing Uzbekistan tonight.
Rainy match
BetMGM
day, right?
It's a place for soccer. Sorry?
Rainy match day.
Very rainy. It's pissing down here. Been pissing down here for days.
Sorry, and I interrupted our sponsorship call.
You did. That is a no-no. You can't be doing that.
Do you know, I was about to say, that was a really good opening, Charms. I didn't know where you were going with it. And
thank
good
you.
Job.
Then it all got messy.
Yeah. Hey. Rainy.
Yeah. Let me try again here. BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime. So, yes, a rainy Edmonton, metaphorically and literally. Dark clouds hanging over this city. Oh, Christ, let's try and get a bit more positive, shall we?
It's hard to, though.
It is hard.
Even Jesse Marsh is burning fucking sage to try to get the bad juju out of this team, right?
Sage advice from Jesse Marsh to try anything he can.
That's right. Well done.
It, hope it works. When it didn't work, did it, actually? Because when was that done?
No, I think it... When I saw people trying to place it, they said it was before Flores' injury.
Yeah.
But may as well try.
Well, because he was in a good mood in that video. And if you saw him yesterday, when him and Stefan Eustachio walked into the press conference, you could sell, I mean, you could sense this ain't going to be good news. Because Jesse's usually very upbeat, you know, talking, joking with the media. And there was none of that. Yeah. Craig, shitty news. We have to remember that Canada was really good without Marcelo Flores up until the last couple of games, right? You know, but let's not dance around the fact that this sucks.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. No more so than it does for Marcelo Flores. That's a really tough situation for this young player to be in. It was. I thought the whole thing was dealt with brilliantly, and then with obviously there is some, you know, in Mexico not happy with him making the swap to Canada, of course. But I thought it was pretty. Both sets of fans were pretty good about it, and I think Jesse talked about that a little bit too. So that was nice. But bottom line is, it's a crushing blow for the kid, and I hope he's going to be all right. Like long term, short term, and. Mental side of things, mental health, all those. Those are things that come into it. And I hope that he's also able to join the squad at some point to be at least a part of it.
Dubs, it's 3 ACLs for Canada in the last year and a bit. We talk about it being an epidemic in the women's game.
Yeah.
You're seeing this a lot right now. It's a lot of football these guys are playing. I mean, let's not get too much into, there's too much football. But to have it happen in the last match before a World Cup, I mean, my God, that is brutal.
There's 20 minutes left.
Yeah. And you effectively jinxed it, Charms, with your line of questioning to Jesse Marsh with Faisal, which actually, no context, Canadian men's national team handle on Twitter, which puts up kind of random things to do with our men's national team, posted that interview. Mm-hmm. So it was just a little bit too on the nose, because we talked about the fact that these two friendlies are so critical for Canada to see where a lot of these guys coming off the injury list, to see where they are. And also not only to assess them, but to give them valuable minutes when they haven't been able to do so with club because they've been injured and unfit. And yet you play in, you know, the same day that Champions League is taking place in Europe, our own continental Champions League is taking place, and you have a player playing in it. That's, I mean, what you think is the best case scenario, this guy coming in and he's going to be high flying in terrific form. But you see those images and they were nauseating, because you don't, nobody here is a doctor. Nobody can make a diagnosis, but that was as prototypical an ACL mechanism of injury than I've ever seen. And you saw his face as well, like blanch. Right? Like almost in shock. For the kid, he's 22. He's going to be okay. He's going to be around for 2030, and he's going to be a hugely important player, an impactful player for Canada. His future, I don't think, is in doubt, but this team just keeps getting blow after blow after blow. You look like the last press conference where Jesse Marsh was almost bubbling over with positivity. Is some of it performative, even though he's authentic? Probably. Right, to kind of set the tone. But I think by and large, the news coming out of the camp in Charlotte was overwhelmingly positive. And now another kind of dagger blow right before you get set for two friendlies that are, again, going to set the tone for June 12th.
Jimmy, take us into the mind of a coach. And you're right. I mean, Jesse does put on that positive. He's just a positive guy. But it has to be performative, a lot of that. I mean, I don't know. They said they watched the game last night and they're all, you know, like just having their fingers crossed. But in the coach's mind, when you see that happen, all your preparation, you got all these, you know, plan A, B, C, D, E, you know, what happens, certain score lines. Marcelo Flores, I'm assuming, was central to a lot of those plans. So mm-hmm. when you see those plans being thrown out the window, what's in Jesse Marsh's mind when he sees that happen?
First thing you do is pick up the phone. You cancel the two games that are coming up.
Yeah, right away. Would he?
Just cancel. No games.
You can't do.
You can't do that.
No, you can't. But if you could, though.
But he's probably thinking, "I wish I don't have these two games right now because I need everybody fit, and I can't afford to have anybody else injured." I mean, look. I mean, watching that, I can imagine him, the whole staff, everybody just absolutely gutted, because Flores was, he was a little bright spark, wasn't he? He was just that something different that we haven't seen in a Canadian jersey in a long time. And I was looking forward to seeing him play in this World Cup. And I can imagine how he's feeling as a player. Absolutely gutted. It's probably lonely as well, thinking, I can't believe this has happened to me. The good thing is, I mean, he is young. He's still got plenty of time ahead of him to get to another World Cup, but he'll be gutted. The staff, everybody will be so so sad for him. Really is it's a heartbreaking moment, that's for sure. I can only imagine what's going through his head. So close to World Cup and you blow your ACL. But Jesse, on the flip side, he has to remain positive. He has to. That's the only thing that he can do, is continue to be positive and try to get this team ready. Make sure that he monitors minutes and make sure that everybody gets through these two games fit and healthy. Obviously get ready for the World Cup. It's a tough situation for him. It really is. And you feel for him.
They're using, I think it's 10 subs today. So it's going to be essentially a split squad game, is what Jesse said.
Everybody gets 8 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. They should totally do the walking football. No running allowed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pitch itself,
in fact, let's play without a ball.
The pitch looks fine, but it's a new pitch, right? Just been laid down. And it doesn't drain well there, apparently. There isn't typical drainage. So it's a concern.
And that was mentioned in the press conference yesterday. I think they're very concerned about that pitch, how it holds up, and the possibility that things can happen.
Would Jesse and the training team talk to the team about, hey, watch out for this pitch? Like, is that something that you would have a conversation about? Only because with all these injuries,
not so much guys, about the pitch, but about challenges for sure.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And I was going to reverberate what Dub said. Our friend Claudio DiPlacido put up the video on Friday, or I think it was up Friday night, but Saturday he just, and immediately I tore my ACL. And when Marcelo Flores said, my knee is gone, everyone has a different experience. Mine was like a shot to the knee, like someone blew it up, like hit me with a bullet. It hurts so much inside, but the pain goes away. Like, it almost makes you want to pee your pants. It hurts that much, but it goes away like 10 seconds, 15 seconds later. And you can actually put weight on it. If at least in my, you can put weight on it, but it feels all flimsy. And then the next day it blew up. And so they had the brace on him right away, probably had the ice packs on him right away. But he's probably in surgery. Then I went down this whole road of ACL graft and what the top tier athletes get. And I was like, okay, 8 to 10 months. And then I thought, on our last podcast, when we were talking about the reacts and the literally, Jimmy, we used your social media. We did the cut of you saying there's going to be two or three players. Well, here are the two or three players that we're going to need extra. And we still have some places to go, right, with two more friendlies coming up.
Okay, so, Dubs, who are those? Who are the players on notice right now? Jesse Marsh said that he hasn't decided who replaces Marcelo Flores, but mm-hmm. there's some pretty obvious choices, right? There's Dan Jeppesen, there's Jaden Nelson, there's even Junior Hoyler, who Jesse mentioned yesterday, who wasn't even at the Charlotte camp. There are options. No one quite like Marcelo Flores, obviously, but still good players who might feel somewhat aggrieved that they weren't picked to begin with, in fairness, but mm-hmm. who should it be?
Well, I think especially in, you know, the hand that he's been dealt, especially across the back line and the uncertainty with those players coming back, he has to pick an extra center back. He has to pick an extra defender. So Jeppesen gets cut loose and he only goes with four front runners. If we're including those wingers as midfielders, which I think we tend to do when we're looking at these rosters. But I don't think this is a like for like thing in terms of, because there's nobody who's exactly like Flores. I think the closest thing to him is maybe like an Ali Ahmed, but he's a unicorn in the way that he was going to perform in a Canadian kit. So I don't know if you go with a Nelson. And I don't even know if you insert a Jeppesen just because you're thinking, okay, we've lost somebody going forward. We've lost an attacking minded player. So we replace him with Jebbo. I think what you've lost in Flores is somebody like Jimmy has frequently talked about, a plan B or a plan C is Jonathan David as your nine and Flores underneath. I think what Flores brought you was a unique kind of mazy play, key to unlocking a lower block, giving you that creative player, like something that nobody else could really lend. But it also gave you tactical flexibility and options for Jonathan David. So my thinking is Jason Russell Rowe. Because he's a player who has played that role as early or as recently as the March window, he's been a sub for Jonathan David. And we haven't really seen Jonathan David being subbed. He is absolutely critical for the way that Canada ticks along in this philosophy of play. So I'm thinking that that's where he goes. I think Bassong is at the ready. Prizo is at the ready. Nelson is at the ready as these training players. Hoylett, of course, brings you a little bit of that kind of wild card as well, where he can play in the half space. He's creative off the wing, can move centrally. But I think Jesse Marsh liked Flores, not only for the way that he livens up the attack, but also because of what he could bring substituting for Jonathan David, who is absolutely critical for Canada.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Good show.
Yeah, Dubs. I like that. I like that analysis. You're pretty good at this, Dubs.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well done. Let's end the show.
All sorted.
You're a one-stop shop for.
That's right. Yeah. Not a tagline for anybody.
No. But that's interesting. I mean, that would be, I think it would be a slight surprise if he went for Jason Russell Rowe, as much as it makes a lot of sense for those reasons mm-hmm. you just mentioned there.
And he did mention him in the presser. He threw his name out.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like that, actually.
Okay. Who's number two? Jimmy, Craig, Dubs? Who's number two? If that's, if it's not Jason Russell Rowe.
Junior Hoylett?
Yeah. Maybe Junior.
But don't you think
he's not what he used to be, but he can certainly, give you something.
Pardon me. Especially on the set pieces, right?
Look, I'm still worried about that left side, the left back position. I really hope at some point Bassong gets in there. I'm worried because if Davies isn't playing, if Larea goes down, what's your option?
Jimmy, do you think it's possible that they're delaying this choice, this decision, until they see Fonzie and see what state he's in? Because they don't know. They've heard from Bayern Munich, and they say, we don't know until we actually get our hands on him and see him.
They don't know, Charms? They don't know.
No, they don't know, right? They haven't seen him in person. He came in last night. So if they decide, oh, man, Jesus Christ, he's a few games away still. Like, we may not have him.
Yeah.
Then maybe they think, you know, he has an opportunity to bring in a left back. That's the only way I think Zohan Bassong gets in there, because if everything is as it is and was when they made this choice, then they've decided that, you know, they were again left, and Flores doesn't make a difference. He's not a left back. But if they see Fonzie and realize, man, he's not as far along as you thought he was, that might be the choice.
Yeah.
I wonder Craig, with Hoylett. I mean, I have no idea about this, but he wasn't even picked for the Charlotte camp. I wonder if that was mutual. I wonder if Junior said, listen, I'm 30, was he 35, 36? If he said, if I'm not coming to the World Cup, I'm not really that interested in going to Charlotte. I wonder if that was the case. Because wouldn't you bring him to the camp otherwise?
Yeah, you'd think so. Yeah, I'm not sure what the thought is there. I don't think it would be Junior that would say that.
No, I can't see that.
Right.
No, I think you're leaping at any opportunity at that point, even if you're in the twilight of your career, to participate in a home World Cup. Like, I don't think that's coming from Junior. I think that's a Jesse decision.
Yeah.
Free trip.
Even if he's lying.
Yeah. But free trip to Charlotte, who would turn that down? IHOP,
right?
The waffle.
NASCAR.
Let's go.
Do you guys think, though, like Sharms, your point about Davies waiting to assess exactly where he is, because there's so many question marks around that and his recovery and how close to a return he might be, that you might drop him in to that left wing position, and it's not a like for like replacement for Flores, but maybe he's playing a more attacking role, and then you're more inclined to go with a Prizo even over a Bassong, because Prizo, from what I heard, had taken some reps at the left wing position and can also be deployed as center back or even in central areas. Did I say left back?
You said left wing. Prizo.
Sorry. So Fonzie further up the pitch, and then you take a Prizo who has the flexibility across the back line or even in central areas.
Maybe, yeah. You know what's great is that I thought we'd put this selection debate behind us on Friday. Here we are again. Hopefully we find out. We'll find out very soon, probably today.
Content, though. Sorry for everyone who's
interested. Yeah, we might be debating it for another 10 days, right? Because they have until the 11th to make this change, and I think it's going to happen late.
Yeah, I think you could be right. Mm-hmm. They have those players in camp. Well, they have Nelson and Prizo. Is Prizo in camp still? I believe he is, yeah. And I'm not sure about the forwards. I don't think they had forwards in there. I don't think. Could be wrong.
No, I think he said Jebison, Jason were kind of cut loose, maybe not that exact turn of phrase. And then you've got Bassong, Prizo, Nelson, who are in camp in Edmonton.
I just wonder if, you know how Jimmy said you have a few days off. So now MLS is down. A couple of these guys are like, they're down on some island drinking it up. Said, I'm never playing for the Canadian team or not playing this year. I'll play it. You know, I'm excited, but I need the rest and I need some relaxation, some R&R. I'm like Hawkeye and BJ Honeycutt on R&R in Seoul.
There you go. Thank being God. Relevant to the kids out there.
Yeah, being super relevant.
With the MASH reference. Wow.
Oh my God. That's not even
Jimmy,
for me.
Jimmy talks about it. You get the hell out right away, right? Mm-hmm. These guys could be in the middle of nowhere.
They must have seen the state of the infirmary and they must have thought, okay, I'm not going on the beach just yet. I'm going to stay active because I'm
they were like Middlesbrough. They were on at the airport when they got the call.
But there is, I was going to say, sorry, Charms, I'm on a lag.
I apologize. Just keep going.
I was just thinking about our chat on Friday night after we saw the roster. And I was thinking about all the guys that are in the injury room. Sometimes, and I don't know if you guys had this, but sometimes there was camaraderie in that too. There was, you know, hey, who's getting better? Who's feeling good? And you pushed each other to get better. And I know a lot of these guys are all over the place right now, like all over Europe and all over North America. But having that, and that keeps you part of the team, because we were talking about the mental state, and that keeps you feeling like, hey, I'm still part of the team because these other guys are trying to do physio with me or trying to get better with me. I don't know. Just thought that.
Well,
I tell you that Greg Bay has got his hands full. I got to think they have some extra help coming in for the physios. Like, I mean, you need three or four top notch physios right now, not just one. Greg Bay, that's way too much for one physio.
I know. Overtime for Greg Bay.
If you're a quality physio that was part of this group but got cut loose when they made the cuts, are you not going on vacation just yet? You know, because you might get
stay fit.
Up.
Yeah,
you got to stay fit. You got to keep those hands, you know, strong. Those four.
Yeah, no
strong.
Kidding. With all those injuries, strong. I bet you Greg Bay's pulled an injury as well.
Yeah, I had a little training session yesterday. I'm looking for. I might sneak in there as the fifth.
I will say I'm happy about the medical staff. They took such bullshit the last year or so with the whole Fonzie thing, right? So unfairly. And now to see them actually get a little bit of love, because they are apparently, you know, these guys are getting back to full health. These guys that we thought wouldn't even be at the World Cup, some of them. So, you know, let's give them some appreciation, I think, because the medical staffs, unless it's something obvious, they shouldn't take abuse, for Christ's sakes, and the fans. It does happen occasionally, but it was ridiculous what happened around Fonzie and Bayern Munich back in March of last year, last time we saw him. So I'm happy for them. All right, yeah. Speaking of Fonzie, captain's back. He does bring a levity to this squad. People at the team love him. They can't wait to see him. What does it mean to you as a team when you have your star player who's been out, And then he or she returns to the fold? Is it a real lift there, Dubs? It seems it would be, obviously.
Of course. I don't think I've ever been in a position where somebody who has that massive role within the team, not only as the best player, but also in providing, you know, those vibes and that shift in energy.
You. That's why it was you.
No, never as the best player. Like, I mean, Fonzie is again a special player, not only in what he offers, but off the pitch too, and the way he's respected, the way that the guys look up to him. If you're, you know, one of these youthful upstarts that's cracked this squad. But then we mentioned it last time, or Marsh did, or maybe it was Cloak in his coverage of the camp in Charlotte, that of course these guys were walking on eggshells, awaiting their fate, as it were, to see if they were going to get named to this roster. But it was a somber atmosphere, or more so, or more serious than he was used to covering when he's been kind of immersed in that environment. And what Fonzie does do is he brings that balance of levity and professionalism. So his presence, I think, will provide a lift. And then to the Flores piece, Marsh also mentioned that he will be invited. Whether he takes him up on that offer or not is to be seen. But they hope for his own mental health, he will be integrated into the squad and be with them, whether that's in Toronto or Vancouver, and maybe just a little window of time. But that can be galvanizing for the squad as well. We know what the Tejon injury did for this team in advance of Copa America. So yes, it can bring the group down, because especially I think if that Flores injury was suffered in camp, there's something that happens in there that can really affect the group, and it can either go really high or it goes right off the rails and it goes really low and the team has a really difficult time making sense of it. So I think the balance of Fonzie reinjecting and reinvigorating the squad, both with his just mere presence and his quality, but also his personality, will allow Flores to be integrated in that group and kind of shepherd it along without affecting the group negatively.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope so. Jimmy, do you have any similar anecdotal experience of you know, top player being out for so long, then returning and how it lifts the room?
Not really. No, I don't. But I think the players, you're right. It's great having him around. That will lift the group. But I think when he's on the pitch and you know he's ready to play, I think that's when everybody's going to be really excited. And that's when it's going to lift the whole group. Yeah. Right.
But yeah. Jimmy, wasn't it Gareth Bale that lifted everybody's for you?
That's not nice.
Destroyed my career.
Lifted everybody but Jimmy.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a career killer, Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
I think it turned out okay for you, Jimmy. I think it turned out okay for you. Yeah. Actually, Jesse said that Flores will be welcome back to the squad if he wants to during the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Is that something that happens in soccer? Because I know I remember reading a book about the Philadelphia Eagles under Buddy Ryan, NFL. And in the NFL, if you're injured, you're kind of like bad juju. Mm-hmm. You just stay away from everyone. No one wants
cast
to see
aside.
You.
Cast aside, yeah.
Cast aside, yeah. Is that the same in football, Craig, or is it a little bit different?
No. I think it would be a positive thing for the squad to have him around.
Yeah.
And for Alfonso, I mean, his character is just, you know, different class as far as like being around a group of players. Like, I think we kind of lack that in the team a lot, and that confidence that he brings.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, that, you know, real swagger, like a guy that has, he's literally done it. He's won. Yeah, he's won the Champions League.
Done it, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And having the bank account actually does a lot of talking, right? Like, guys are like, he's that level.
I think it's also the perception of Canada with Davies in the squad,
right?
Canada's feared in a different way. They're in a different level in terms of how the world regards them, both fans, but I think also other nations, like, you know, Bosnia, Qatar, Switzerland. In the preparation, it's not just Fonzie and company. Obviously, Canada has more weapons and it's more nuanced, and they have to prepare for, you know, how to deal with all the different things that Canada is going to throw at them. But it's very Fonzie-centric, right? So
it's a great point, Dubs. I love that, because you've listened to and read all these previews from other outlets around the world about Canada, and it's always about my God, they're missing their best player, their talisman. Yeah. Alfonso Davies is a huge deal in those World Cup previews, more so over than it is here, because we've kind of got used to not seeing Fonzie as part of the 11, to the point where we underestimate his influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
That's true. So it's like the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God, so we should be more depressed than we are right now. we're way too happy. We're way too comfortable with Fonzie having an injury he's nursing himself back from. No. Anyway, but Uzbekistan this evening. Uzbekistan's a good team, a World Cup team. They're in Group K, aren't they? With Portugal, Colombia, and someone else. anyone want to guess?
Jordan. No.
Nope. No. Assuming Jordan. Congo.
Congo. DR Congo. Who's having issues. Just, did you guys read about that? Having issues because of their fans getting, not being able to get to the States because of the Ebola crisis. So hopefully that all gets figured out. And, not, you know, once again, the politics / world events attach themselves to sports. There could be, you know, they're getting their trips canceled, the fans, and Ebola's kind of dangerous. as I've been reading about.
Whenever I hear Ebola, yeah, I just think of Tony Ebola, who was a great player in the Premier League back in the 90s.
Oh, great striker. And Leeds.
Sorry, that's really...
A little toxic. Oh, a little toxic. Bad joke,
that is. Tony Ebola is a bad joke. Tony Ebola is his name.
No, you gave him your wife's name.
Yeah. No, it was Tony Ebola, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Leeds, yeah. Oh, man. He was superb.
That's her new nickname. Okay. Can you just call her Ebola at home and see how she answers?
Sometimes. You're so toxic. No. She's not like Ebola. Okay. What else you got to talk about today? If you want to, are we done talking about Canada?
I think so, unless someone wanted to throw something in. Timing wise, we have to be, because if we want to talk about other things, our Dubs here is going to be on CBC at 10 o'clock. So it's important. And I have to say, Dubs looks magnificent today. It's looks like, looks like she did herself up, didn't it, a little bit for the CBC?
I've got an appointment after this one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I just woke up like this.
Yeah. CBC, as we were coming on, she was putting a little gloss on her lips. I was like, someone is on CBC.
I washed not my just hair, putting... you guys. It's a big deal.
Yeah, you got some crinkles.
Oh, thanks, Forrest. I like to call it
wrinkles. Crinkles.
Hey, listen, Champions League, we have a repeat champion, PSG, who beat little old Arsenal on Saturday on penalties. Did you see Gabriel blasted that over the bar? Did you see Marquinhos, PSG, mm-hmm, come right over to him before celebrating with his teammates and to console him? That was cool. That was great sportsmanship.
That was class.
It really was. I like Marquinhos. Made PSG a little bit more likable.
Yeah, but you don't know what he said. He probably walked over and said, thank you.
Yeah. Nah, 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 nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to console somebody when you just won.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Better luck next time.
Don't worry about it. It happens to everybody.
I Woo-hoo! Knew you were going to miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Should we be celebrating a almost tactical masterclass from Mikel Arteta, or should we be kind of lambasting? I mean, that's how Arsenal play against these big teams. But my God, they were negative.
Yeah.
Right? It was painful to watch.
Well, do you know the problem is, too? I always say when you score that early, it's difficult because you start defending more, don't you? Trying to protect the lead. PSG has to go for it because they need a goal, so they start dominating possession and penetrating. It's right away. As soon as they scored, I was like, oh boy, they're going to bunker in here. They have to. Mm-hmm. And then you're defending for that long period of time, aren't you? Because it's just wave after wave after wave of attacks. If they didn't score, it'd be a different story.
I didn't see the game. Was it overwhelmingly PSG possession?
Yeah.
75%. Oh,
yeah. 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 Almost 75%.
They just kept on coming.
Is that right, eh? Wow.
Although,
800 odd passes to 180 or something, I think.
I was just going to say Havertz's goal was a worldie, though. Like, just the way he smashed. So I was like, hey, Arsenal finally going to do it. Arteta can be on the front page with his eyebrows done. This all work out. And then PSG won in penalties, and I just kind of went, PSG, they made the Club World Cup final too, right? Against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. They're not underdogs, right?
No.
You can hate them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. For me watching that, it was, which team do I hate less?
Right.
Like, no skin in the game, but kind of a little bit wanting Arsenal to do it, which pains me to say. But I felt the momentum shift quite tangibly in those penalties. Raya made the save, mm-hmm, after, who was it that dragged it wide for Arsenal? Anyway, and so then the shift's over and you think, okay, Arsenal's got this. And then my daughter, the camera went to Saliba. And she's like, who is that again, Mama? Does he play for France? I said, yes, he does. He's a great center back. I said, but he won't be taking one. And then sure enough, who strides up to take the fifth penalty for Arsenal, but Gabriel. I was like, well, this is a center back and I think he's going to miss it. And like, I'm not a seer. I have no idea what's going to happen here, but you, whether it's body language, whether it's just the way that things have happened. So after Raya makes the save to get Arsenal back in it, he went really early on the fourth penalty where it looked almost comical. Like he went to his right and he kind of did a little skip and a jump and then he dove. And I was like, that was really odd. And then Gabrielle steps up and I was like, this is going over the bar. Like, I swear to God. And my daughter's like, but why do you think that? Like, don't say that. And I was like, he's a defender. He's been clearing the ball all game. So either this is going through the back of the net and this is going to be a decisive victory and a decisive penalty, or it's going into Rosette. And sure enough, over the bar. It's crazy how you can just feel that. You can almost sense it happening.
Yeah. Arsenal sure got over it quickly. That parade on Sunday. Jesus
Christ. That parade was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was bigger than one of Trump's parades.
Oh. Hard to imagine.
Yeah, it was a million to a million and a half or something. It's just people.
It was the sea of red, right? It was great to see. See. Better than the scenes in France and Paris after they won and all the violence and the let's start breaking stuff.
Yeah.
Vancouver City. Yeah. Cool.
They did the Vancouver thing,
It's interesting because there's a million people there. The mass majority of London are delighted that Arsenal lost that final. Like, that's just reality of it is. It's not in Canada. It's like, oh, the last Canadian NHL team. Yeah, let's cheer for Montreal. No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't fucking work that way. Thank you. You know how this goes? They're not happy because the London club's in the final of the Champions League. No.
No.
They want them to lose. That's just the reality of the situation.
Oh, mm-hmm. North London was split. That's for sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of Spurs fans weren't leaving the house that day.
No. If you're Fulham, Chelsea, West Ham, Brentford, Tottenham,
Palace.
Crystal Palace, Palace, Millwall, they're happy that they lost the point. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah.
But listen, Arsenal, you know, we debated them all season long, right? They win the Premier League. They get to the Champions League final. What a season for them. Is all the rust or the tarnish off Mikel Arteta at this point? He won the Prem. He that was number one. Let's get that done. It'd be nice to throw in the Champions League, but I think you asked most Arsenal fans, they were saying, we wanted the Prem. And he's proven that they can do it now. I'd say that he's no longer tarnished. He might become a hated manager because of the swagger and the arrogance, which is fine. Fergie had the same thing. Wenger had the same thing. Mourinho definitely had the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Arsenal fans won't care. I think he can grow into that mold. A very unlikable yet brilliant manager who his fans revere.
And everyone else hates.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
That's fine.
But you're doing everything right if you're doing that, right? You're beloved by your own fan base and you're hated by everybody else.
You know who didn't do that was Klopp. Klopp managed to balance it, didn't he?
Yeah. It has to go back, right, to Liverpool. But you got something to talk about.
We're getting there. It's a segue. Yeah.
But that was over time, like, don't you think, though? Like, that wasn't instant. Like, it wasn't instantaneous with Klopp. Like, he was exuberant and he was magnetic and he gave good sound bites. Remember the mind fog, mind fuck sound bite? How great that was. I think it took a little bit of time until other people appreciated him and recognized him and respected him as a manager versus just flat out hating him because of the success that he brought to Liverpool. So I don't see it happening with Arteta because of that arrogance. Klopp didn't have that. But I think that is something that's earned either at the end of your tenure and maybe your years of success and then maybe into retirement. Where then, like, your body of work is then more appreciated by the general football fan.
Yeah, that's a Fergie thing, right? I mean, especially he's been for so long that obviously everyone knew who Fergie was and what he did. But he is now, no matter who you supported, you say, Fergie was pretty incredible. Even Liverpool fans, they might not like the guy, but they can.
No, because he won.
Won.
It's like anything. The more you win, the more people hate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's why we're so popular.
number four podcast in the country. How about that?
We're number four.
Yeah, but that was obviously yeah. So well done, Arsenal and Arsenal fans, that you never do it again. Win the Premier League. You can definitely lose the Champions League again. That's quite all right. Right ahead. I know the other big news this weekend was Arne Slot being let go by Liverpool. Bit of a surprise. Areola of Bournemouth, or formerly of Bournemouth, is the odds on to replace him. I think that's probably a large reason why Slot is left.
He's a bit of a tit, available. I hear.
Who?
Areola.
Not bad, Wanger. Not bad.
If he wins, who cares? No, I think actually he's really likable. I know Areola, I get it.
Yes. Usually wins in pairs.
We're going out of route.
Steve will do the double.
Dubs, you're our Liverpool expert and fan on this podcast.
No, you are.
Are you sad to see Slot go?
No, I'm not. I'm not thrilled. I think the way that I think much of this fan base is, but I saw a really funny thing. I feel like I'm referencing a lot of like memes and GIFs in order to validate my answers or my opinions here. But you know, the one from Wolf of Wall Street, where he's like, I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving. And somebody's like, that Salah right now, finding out that Slot got axed. Yeah, right. He's like, oh, maybe I'm going to stay. I might stick around here. But no, I think there's a lot of resentment.
That's good, Jimmy.
And everybody's like, yeah. But yeah, I think there's a lot of resentment that's wrapped up in Slot and his tenure. You know, where it was unexpected, you know, with very little movement, very little injection of new life and new blood in the way of transfers into that squad that he inherited from Klopp. And against all odds, you win the Prem. And then you lose Jota. And then everybody has to come to terms with that, left reeling. But that's maybe a massive excuse, whether it's justified or not, that I think the way that he coached and led, I think a lot of people on the inside, the players, the brass, and people on the outside, like the rabid fan base that Liverpool have, I don't think they liked the way that he coached this team. I don't think they loved the style of play, the philosophy of play, the way that players were maybe reined in a little bit versus how they were allowed to express themselves in that heavy metal football of Klopp. So maybe he was never going to be able to win over this fan base, but you would expect that maybe bringing them another title would have, but it wasn't enough. I think with all that's wrapped into it, and especially the core of players that have been emblematic of Liverpool for so long as they exit, I think that's wrapped up into the way that Slot led this team over the course of two seasons as well. So it's a lot to unpack, but I think that new life is needed at the club. And I think it's by way of a new manager.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice to see a lot of the players are reaching out through social and saying, thank you. You know, we appreciate our time with you. That, I mean, he was obviously, he wasn't disliked, or aside from Salah, maybe he wasn't disliked or hated by the players. He hadn't lost the room per se, but you're right. It's probably time for a change, but won a championship, right? He'll forever be in the old history books there. Okay. Listen, I know Dubs, you got to go for your CBC interview. so let's call it a day. By the way, we have a little bit of news though. We have finally taken the plunge and we have our own Patreon account platform. What do you call it?
Channel.
Feed.
Feed is good. Yeah, I like that.
So basically, if you don't know what Patreon is, where have you been? You know, we learned this on Friday. Patreon essentially is just a central hub for all things Footy Prime. We're going to repurpose some stuff. Rather than going to all these different places, an essential community, you can all talk and chat amongst yourselves and to us. We'll be on there. And we will be adding a lot of unique programming as well. All for $3 a month is tier one. Is actually our first foray. $3 a month gets you a central hub and a community, and we'll be going to there ourselves for our comment shows. So quite honestly, I'm not entirely sure what it is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some, maybe room for some Footy Prime After Dark.
Yes. A lot more.
Yeah, like the after we press the record button and or before we press the record button,
full
maybe
some episodes. Stuff. That, yeah.
Some bloopers.
Yeah.
Some bloopers.
Pictures of Jimmy's feet. Who knows?
Oh, just before we jump, I know we're going to be running around a lot, the five of us. And JC is already running around. He's in New York City doing some border security. So join us. We're going to be doing plenty of coverage, probably every day. So just stick around throughout the World Cup. And just FYI, Mexico beat Australia 1-0. The United States, so these are CONCACAF teams, beat Senegal 3-2. And
wasn't it?
3-2.
Three.
Yeah.
Was it three?
Okay. Yeah. There was the goal called back. So anyways, yeah. And the last one was Switzerland that I was looking at, who's in Canada's bracket. And basically they crushed Jordan. Sorry, it's not bracket. What's it called?
Group.
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 They won 4-1 against Jordan, who I dated once. I dated a girl named Jordan.
More on that in the Patreon.
That's right.
Yeah. You're going to be sick of us. We're going to be sick of each other as well by the end of the World Cup. But we're going to be, painting the walls with Footy Prime.
Yoo-hoo.
Gross.
And I just came out.
You are in a hotel room.
Beaters Radio and Patreon.
Yeah.
Oh.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG and on Twitter at @Footy_Prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
All right. Anyway, that's Footy Prime. Thank you, everyone. Make sure you like, subscribe, check us out, and tell your friends and comment. We'll get to those comments later this week, I'm sure. So until then, Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Back tomorrow, maybe. In fact, we will be up tomorrow. We've got some Uzbekistan to talk about.
Of course.
All right.
30 subscribers away from 4K on YouTube. Like, subscribe, comment. We love your comments, but subscribe. Almost at 4,000.